to the old me, scared and unseen. You're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes of the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This is keep it real, keep it purpose bound. Every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place.
How do we turn personal pain into purposeful action? My guest today, Queen Sheba Cece, is a true testament to the power of unlearning silence, survival, and self-abandonment out loud. On this episode with this beautiful guest, she shares her deep personal story of growing up as a Black woman in the United States and navigating inequality, and how that journey led her to advocate for women and children in Senegal. We explore her work with Queen Sheba Village and how she serves others. But we're going to learn about the process of how healing and reclaiming dignity and purpose is also woven into what she does. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, my dear sister Edna. It's a pleasure and a beautiful opportunity for me to be here with you.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here. So share with my audience who you are and what you're doing right now.
Okay. Humbly, my name is Queen Sheba Dubois Cece. Queen Sheba is my birth name by my father, who was a bishop. Okay. And I am the youngest daughter of Daisy Renee Dubois and my father, Senior James Edward. And we're from Alabama, but we have roots in Louisiana. And those roots in Louisiana took me to my birth town in Alabama. And I'm a founder, an advocate for philanthropy on the social behalf of impoverished women and girls, youth, orphans in Senegal, but not just Senegal, even here in the U.S. of A. Because before I can go to Senegal, my roots are right here.
Yes. Well, I want you to know that I am from Alabama, so I'm very excited to meet you. I hardly meet anybody from there.
Are you kidding? Wow.
I am from Alabama, Thomasville, Alabama, Clark
go
County.
Alabama, go. Okay.
So that's where I am from originally. I came up here to live. My mother moved here. So I came with her when I was young, but I used to go back a lot. You know, my dad was alive. I don't go back so often now, but yeah, I'm from there. I love football. Football's happening now. So go Bama, you know,
spirit always connects, doesn't it? It's amazing.
Yes. It's amazing. And it's so funny you talk about finding about your heritage. I did my heritage. And my grandfather, on my father's side, is from Sierra Leone.
Okay.
And my grandmother is from Haiti.
Oh, wonderful.
And they're actually in that you know, the registry. I found their registry. And my dad was born here in America, but he was in my grandmother's belly when he came.
Mashallah. Okay. Wonderful.
Yes.
That's amazing you say Haiti, because it's some ancestral from Haiti through my mother's story, through my aunt. And
Okay.
but a lot of people from the islands were also trying to trace their ancestral back to the motherland as well. So, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I'm thrilled that you're doing some work there. One of my trips is going to be to Sierra Leone and, and embrace that part of my life. So
Wonderful.
I'm really thrilled to have you on, and we want to talk about operating in the place of survival and just your story on how you were unlearning that silence. Can you share a little bit about that with my audience?
Sure. Well, I've always been the more talkative, expressive of the children. I have two brothers as well, but of the children, I've always been, my mother would say, maybe my sisters would say, I've always been the most expressive. So basically, when I seen or felt any type of injustice, racism,
Yes.
things that we all can relate to, is being in our black,
Sure.
beautiful skin.
Yes.
I would speak up about it, and not much so much in the South because I was still young. But as we moved up to
Right.
the
Me too.
North,
Right.
as we moved
Yes.
out of Alabama and came up to the north of Boston, Massachusetts, and the North, we understood and we could see things and what you call it, the segregation and
Yes.
the problems that was happening in Boston at the time. So I was, I didn't experience much so-called racism, but I did see it, of course. A lot of times you don't experience something personally, you see it amongst your peers and other people and a
Oh,
little bit
yeah.
of, things of yourself. So
Yeah.
being that I'm very talkative and I was expressed injustices of inequality and type of thing to my mom. And then, of course, she worked in, which is very common. Our mothers, most of our mothers and grandmothers worked in white folks' homes to take care of us, to look good, to, they sacrificed a lot. So with all of that and reading, and I love museums, I love documentaries, I loved, at the
My
time,
goodness, you sound like me.
yeah. At
You
the time,
sound like me.
Sister Edna, we didn't have no internet. We had no, we had the library. We had National Geographic. We had PBS, WETV, these
On
different
Saturdays, on
on that.
Saturdays,
Yes,
sit right
yes, yes. So as we grew up, we learned more about, like I said, injustice, racism, and that stuff still shapes us today. And it's, could we still see it? It's still happening. So it's not like
Absolutely.
it happened last year and 10, 20 years ago. We still live it, and how I cope is because I love to read and research, which took me to history, which took me to look at my mother, who I admire, my grandmother, who I admire, my great grandmother, who I never met, which took me back across the transatlantic. But before we even got there, because of the research, the history, the reading, the writing, the documentaries, we put these things together to find out who we are, why is this happening, who these other oppressors are, and we go into ourselves. And if you tap into your spirituality, and you can only do that for me, and I think you may agree, is when you, if you're close to your parents and your uncle, your auntie, your people in your family, and you look at their lives, and you kind of put things together as to it's like a puzzle. Your life, the situation, what we live at, what we're going through, and the different tools that I just use to say, TV, libraries, reading, writing, talking to your mother, your grandmother, looking at their issues, their pain, and their impoverished ways, not ways, but life.
Patterns, yeah, the patterns that they
The
have, yeah.
patterns, and it shapes their behaviors. It shapes
Yes, exactly.
the way they act. Not that they were ungodly or unruly. They were very beautiful women, historical women, and feminine women. And you put all of these things together, and you say, "Wow, and how can I make a difference? What can I do?" You don't know what to do, really. You're just kind of
You
like
don't.
drowning in sorrow. But as we got older, you go to school. I educated myself. I got married. I had my children, which was a challenge. And it just led me to do more research and to really want to take action and go deep. And the only way I could go deep in my research is to know exactly who I am and consciousness, meditation, and really travel. Travel
It's
opened up a huge, it opens up
tell that truth right there.
It opens up a universe. You know, if you get the chance to travel, and you don't even have to travel outside abroad. You can travel right in this US of
That's
A
correct.
and learn a lot and come in
That's right.
contact with different great, wonderful people,
Exactly.
like-minded like yourself, who are kind of
Exactly.
searching and looking and reading and writing, you know, and the universe, omnipotent God, call him if you Christian, Jesus, hey, Salam, you might want to call Allah, you might want to call Buddha, whoever, however, the omnipotent source. You put things together and say, you know what? Okay, let me master this. And the only way you can master anything, you try to master yourself, your
That's
feelings.
right.
Heal
That's right.
yourself and through this pain and trauma. And the biggest problem is, how can we heal ourselves if we don't know that there's not you don't we don't believe there's nothing wrong with us in the first place?
Exactly. But I
So
think we
once
do, sis. I think we do. I think we
listen,
do because we feel it. We
we
just don't
feel
acknowledge
we
it. You know, we just don't acknowledge it
we
and
feel
we
it
override it, you know,
we
we
feel it
override it.
we feel it And once we feel it, and it's once we come to terms and authentically to take off any kind of mask, we want to acknowledge it. Once we acknowledge it, this when we really at this point, we saying to ourselves, we want to get into some type of action to, internally, and then you want to go externally, and get into some type of action to complete the start completing the journey. You know, it's a lifetime of a journey. And that took me to doing something about the injustices or the racism issues that I didn't approve of. And my work is a source of healing, and I wrote my first book, which is a traveling guide. It was called Return to Glory. I started writing it. I was writing articles. What was happening was people was asking me about Senegal. They were asking me, well, oh, you went there? What happened? And how'd you do that? And how about the Gory Island thing? And people would ask me about my travels as I came back and forth, And because of that, one thing led to another. And I said, let me put together a little book. Let me do a book. And the articles were good, but I said, let me write a book. And I did. And it was published by Mind Publishing House, Mind Publishing. I just went from there and kept continuing to do my work overseas and talk with people. And I can only give back to myself and to others when I started the nonprofit work in Senegal, West Africa.
So you gave us a real, you know, robust referral to you, and I thank you so much for that. And part of what you're saying, and I really want to break down some of the pieces that you did share. You were saying something about recognizing when we're operating in that survival, those old patterns that we have from that we live, you know, we see in our lineage coming through. So rather than living like that, how did you start to navigate? Because, you know, I could see for myself, I tell my mother all the time, I'm glad I was born when I was born, because this big mouth of mine, I don't know, I think it would have got me in a whole lot of trouble. And she always says, I'm the kid that challenged everything. And like you, I challenged everything. I went the next level. But that was God, you know, that was your purpose, you know,
Not
that
your
was
purpose.
who you were, you know,
Amen.
and I loved how you said that you start to work on the inside as well as the purpose from the inside and the outside, right? A
That's
lot of us
exactly.
don't do that, but not a lot of us don't do that. We know there's something wrong, right? And oh, we're gonna go fix this one. We're not gonna fix ourselves.
It's
That's kind of like survival mode, right?
That is the problem too in that a lot of us don't know how. We don't know how. We know, we feel it, like you said, we know it, but it's like I know someone did an injustice to this person or murdered somebody, but you can't prove it. So you don't know how and where to start the research to try to track it down. So, and like I think we all are shown differently in different ways, maybe. And we all, and some of us are shown this in the same type of path. And but what helped me was reflection, observation,
Of course,
praying. We've always been prayerful people. That's just who we are. Spiritually,
Really, absolutely.
mentally, finance, I mean, psychologically. It's just, and we are, I mean, look at who what we've been through. I mean, come on. I
For
mean,
sure, for sure.
we was created this way. That's the bottom line, you
Yeah.
know? And so that took me the time spent on myself, trying to master myself, looking at my life between the time I could remember myself at 5 and 6. I don't remember anything before 5 and 6, but from 5 and 6 on, I remember a lot of things. And I said, I want to master myself. I want to master my thoughts and who I am, who my creator is. And I was just all into it, the Bible, then I started reading the Quran. But it took time for all of these different things down the road. But the interest in and looking at your mother, who was a good, powerful, a father too, but your mother and your grandmother, the people that are who helped shape you, who taught you and showed you the way to go, and who is still showing us the way to go, the living and in the past, our ancestors who have transitioned back to God. These things, like I said, put it in the puzzles and the pieces together. They help us in our journey, they help us in our journey still to this day.
So how does your work, the work that you do, and I know it's deeply rooted in your own story, how can people use their power, their personal trauma to fuel their advocacy and service without bleeding all over them? If I could say, you know what I mean? Like, how can we do that effectively? That's what I'm saying.
You said something so important, which is a lot of things that you've said, but what this one stuck out, and you said the word meaningful purpose, meaningful purpose. And that's where I was searching and scratching and digging. And I knew to help me with any type of trauma that I felt and faced, which is injustices and racism and the impoverished things that our parents went through in the Deep South. I knew I had to, for me, it was my healing came through serving other people. And it just wouldn't, and it just doesn't have to be, of course, people of color. It's serving humanity. And it's serving humanity is a healing process and a healing tool and beauty for me, and to give back. And because I said maybe whatever I'm feeling, was I like this 200 trillion years ago? I
That's
don't
good.
want to go. No. I said, because we know and we believe we are immortal. We are the image of the likeness of God, and we
That's
have
right.
no beginning and no ending. I
Oh,
said
that's a
something
very
like
good question. Oh, I like that.
that. I want to go there to myself, and what that there was just like in multiverses of dimensions. And I said, I love people. I love talking to people. I enjoy women. I enjoy people, period. And I said, I want to give back to society and to people whom, whatever I felt, was suffering like me or even worse. I wanted to
How
learn.
do we identify those things? Because I think that's self-sabotage, what we do to ourselves, and we prevent ourselves, like you said, from going to those levels. how do we prevent that, or how do we identify those, the ways that we do that, the subtle ways? Because it's not always the overt ways, you know, like we always used to, you know, I don't like that or something, but it's something really subtle that kind of like, you know, interferes with us making sure that we're in alignment to receive. You know, how do we see that? How do we identify that?
The Almighty God will send you either some type. Well, for me, you know, we all get it differently.
Yeah. Right, right. Yes. You know what you mean.
Some type of sign. Okay. It could be a person, people, places. Mm-hmm. It could be like, I don't want to use the word, but I will. I mean, deja vu. It could be good. It could be something mm-hmm. from way back, or from the ether coming, or something, right. Some type of, right. I don't know how to explain it, because I'm not good at explaining everything that I went through and feel. And sometimes mm-hmm. some powers are locked in you, and you can't express it in your verbal voice. But you may can express it in your actions, in your physical, right. tangible actions. And you'll be shown. Trust that. Mm-hmm. You'll be shown the how. Yeah. Okay. Sometimes the how is not explained and can't be explained sometimes. And,
right, exactly.
You know, even if I did explain it, it might not happen to you that way, or you might not can relate to it that way. It depends on whom you're speaking with and what her experiences have been up until now, her transitions and type of things mm-hmm. like this. So I think you will be shown, you know, so trust that, just trust that you will be shown.
Okay, good. What's the most uncomfortable truth you had to face about yourself on your journey to self-mastery?
Being too judgmental, overthinking, trying to figure it out is another, could be another, mm-hmm. Situation that we have to let go of and stuff, and just trust the process, because the answer, a lot of times you'll be shown, and you'll be shown why you didn't get the answers at the time and why this didn't happen. If you're being patient. Because the word patience is a very powerful word. A subber, I can't pronounce it well.
Yeah.
It means the patient. And it's one of the last attributes of God that we use. Right. And Miss Edna, my dear sister, you will be shown. You practice patience, practice forgiveness of yourself, and practice patience. And that's your true, and it helps you with your authentic self, because you can't wear a mask in this journey. There's no mask that you can wear. No. You have to put it out there, you know, come out, be authentic, and that's mm-hmm. how you help heal yourself, and that helps heal other people as well.
Yeah. Absolutely. You talk about self-forgiveness, and that's one of the acts that we normally forget. When we've forgiven everybody else, we forget about you know, for us. And I know I talk about it a lot, but I want to hear from your perspective, what does it truly look like to forgive ourselves of past mistakes?
For me, I can say endive yourself, indulge in prayer, indulge in reflection, and indulge in self observation, indulge in meditation, you know, and indulge in something we call zikr. Zikr means remembrance.
That's good.
You're trying to once you seek forgiveness, and once you seek to forgive others, and once your patience, it's all these different tools that we use to help us get there, and help us reflect, and help us understand ourselves, read. And it's like I said, it's a combination of things. It's not no one way of something. It's a combination of things that we put together to really, you know, have mercy on ourselves and ask the omnipotent source of God to have mercy on us and to, you know, embrace all the problems, embrace it. You know, it's a journey. It's our journey. You know, all our journeys is unique. And just trust the process. You have to trust.
And I think that's the hardest thing for us is to trust the process, because I was coaching one of my clients one time and I said, just trust the process, right? And they were like, I'm so tired of hearing this word process. What is it? And I said, well, it's trust your journey. Really, it really is just trust your journey. Trust that you're walking the way you're supposed to go. And it's so very scary because you're traveling in the own, you know, an unknown. It's very scary. And I feel that way sometimes. But like you said, you have to trust it. And so when I get off, you know, and I start worrying, then I go, oh, nope, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to trust the journey. This is bringing me to a journey. This is bringing me to meditate more. This is bringing me to pray more. This is bringing me to align more, to master myself. You know, it's helping me to do that. Right. So how do you,
easier said than done. You're right.
Yes. Right. Easier said than done. But it is good to do, because what you said, all those things help us to stay grounded. Mm-hmm. And that prayer and that meditation, you know, that reading, that research, you know, indulge in something other than worry, because we love that, you know, we love that as humans, we love that. We love worry.
Absolutely.
We love
it. Absolutely.
We love worry. So, you know, we often talk about that seeking validation, you know, whether we got it in our as a child or not, from the outside world. How do we start to internally turn that from outside? And that's one of the stories I had to really get right with myself. I found as I was digging around trying to find myself, found that I needed external validation. I had to turn it inward. Can you talk about how to do that? Turn the outside validation inward and work on that?
For me, I was given a gift, and that gift came from my father. When I was born, my father said to my mom, this is the Queen of Sheba. He said, this is Queen of Sheba. That taught me so much about the biblical Queen of Sheba, the prophet Salim, alayhi salam, and his father, David, alayhi salam. Peace be upon these beautiful people. And from there, he taught me, he gave me so much inspiration in these, in the name. And then I had to read the stories of the biblical stories to him every Sunday. And people would say, do you know who that person, the Queen of Sheba, is in the Bible? I said, oh yeah, I know for a fact. That was a motivational and inspiration for me to motivate and inspire and master and learn who I am, of consciousness, so to speak.
That's not good.
Externally. My name is so-and-so, this is so-and-so. No, it took me inward. So that kind of sealed the deal to help me in this journey of to not seek the validation, because some of us seek validation from our parents, and we have that trauma. We seek love. We came from a loving family. Our family had problems and issues like every most common family do. But the inspiration, the proud things that my father did for me, and that name, it kind of sealed the deal for a lot of different things to help me with my self-esteem and how I felt about myself, because it's important to feel good about Sister Edna. It's important for Sister Edna to feel good for her, what she's doing. This, when you had sent me that, you asked about the podcast and the name.
Yeah.
I said, oh, that's her. I said, that's her. I didn't know much about you, of course. I'm not learning you. But looking and spirit says, that is her. That's her. So that just is like a ping pain.
Yeah.
And we all, yeah. Not even knowing that you had an Alabama roots, I didn't know any of that. But I did hear you speaking on certain talks and everything. Yeah. And then when you had did that, that kind of sealed the deal for me. And I said, oh, that's her.
Absolutely. You got that right. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I really thank you for what you're saying and how what you gave. Can you just give the audience again, you know, how they can reach you, what you would like from them to, for the support of what you're doing? And this is the last word on what, you know, can uplift and inspire them.
You can always reach me on social media and just put in my name. It could be in Google research. It could be on Facebook or LinkedIn, preferably LinkedIn. And the work that we do is right up under my name and profile and everything. And the emails are there. The phone numbers are there. And you can reach out and support the work if you love humanitarian activities. We really appreciate it. We are a volunteering operation. And we have fun with it, but it is a very lot of hard work. It's no doubt. It's a challenge. And it was given to me by my late husband, spiritual scholar, brilliant Imam Hassan Sisi of Medina by Colac. I like to mention that because the story can't be told without mentioning his name. Rahimullah, may God have mercy on his soul and increase his paradise for the humanitarian work that he did on the planet Earth.
Yeah.
And what I like to say to the audience is be your authentic self. But in order to do that, we have to go within. We have to shift. We have to research. We have to read. And we have to get in a place that is still. And we can find the answers. It's possible. It's a lot of work, but we have to do the work.
Yes. Well, Queen Sheba, thank you for your raw honesty and for showing us what it truly means to really heal out loud. Your story is powerful and we can remember it, that our pain can be our greatest gift to the world. To learn more about Queen Sheba's mission and how to support her work, visit her organization at givebutter.com at Help Women Girls. If this episode has spoke to you, share it with somebody who needs to hear this message. And don't forget to like and subscribe and leave a comment. And we'll make sure that Queen Sheba gets the comment and gets back to you. And remember, when you unlearn the silence, you give yourself and others permission to heal. Bye for now.
Thank you.
I'm Martha Stewart, and I believe the best gifts are not only beautiful, but useful every single day. And Lennox has brought timeless beauty and lasting quality to our tables for generations. And their Lennox Spice Village is the perfect holiday gift for someone you love or for yourself. Spice Village transforms everyday spices into inspired memories filled with warmth and joy all year long. Give a gift that lasts beyond the holidays. Discover the collection at lennox.com/spicevillage.
It's here, the Omaha Steaks Cyber Sale. We're talking 50% off site-wide and an extra 20% off select packages. There's no better time to shop for everyone on your list. And when you shop omahasteaks.com today, you'll get an additional $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. With Omaha Steaks, you can slay your gift list and send a perfect assortment that everyone will love. USDA certified tender steaks, beefy burgers, premium air chilled chicken, decadent desserts, and so much more. There's something for everyone on your list. And every bite is backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't wait. Shop the Cyber Sale now at omahasteaks.com to save 50% site-wide and an extra 20% off select packages. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, code HOLIDAYGIFT. Hurry, sale ends December 2nd. Terms apply. See site for details.